Cooper. Thank you, brother. I want to give you a quick word from the Word, and we're going to reserve some time to have some special prayer tonight. We just sang the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And no, I'm not going to hand those out. Go ahead and hand that. I'm going to go to the Plan B. We do have this prayer time tonight, and we do want to give time towards that. We want to get prayed up as we are getting ready to go into this big missions conference. And this is, it's a huge thing. It requires hours and hours of planning. And, of course, people spend hours and hours to travel to get here. And there's lots of funds that are designated and given towards it. Lots of money gets spent for us to have a missions conference. And we do that because we believe it is very, very important. We've got to keep our heart right about missions. I want you to join with me in Acts chapter 9. It's impossible, really, to have a missions conference without thinking about the first man to be a missionary. We're going to see a little bit about him in this chapter. We're going to look at something real quickly. Our theme this year is Answer the Call. Say that with me. Answer the call. Answer the call. The Lord is still speaking. His voice has not gone silent. The Lord is still calling people to do His works. The Lord is still calling people into the mission field. The Lord is still calling young men to preach and to pastor churches, to be music leaders, to be youth leaders. The Lord is still calling people to come and take on ministries in the church. The Lord is still calling sinners to be saved. And that's what we're going to see right here in chapter 9. We're going to see a very important person as the Lord puts out a call to him. And we're going to see how he answers this call. In Acts chapter 9, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse number 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." You see, this man named Saul is threatening to bring a slaughter, to bring persecution and prosecution against people who are committing the crime of worshiping Jesus Christ. And we see that he is coming. He doesn't care if it's a man or a woman. If he finds people and he finds people worshiping and praying and praising Jesus, he is going to infiltrate them and he is going to arrest these people and he is going to bring them bound unto Jerusalem. They are determined to stop this thing called Christianity. They are determined that they are going to send out the message that if you follow Jesus, there will be a cost. There will be consequences. So we see what's going on here. By the way, I wonder if Christianity were being started today, would there be people willing to pay that cost? Would there be people that would worship if it meant persecution, if it meant prosecution? If you were sure tonight that if you were found worshiping God, that you would go to prison, would you have still worshiped? Would you have still come to church? Would you have still stood and been counted as a Christian? That is what these people, these early Christians, were up against. And this man named Saul, man, he is breathing these threatenings and he is determined to work for the Sanhedrin to put an end to this sect called Christianity. Now, pick it up in verse 3 there. It says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That word pricks there was a cattleman's term. It was a term that a person who worked with livestock would have immediately understood. It was a pole that would have been sharpened on the end, or perhaps had a piece of metal in the end of it that would have been sharp. And when cattle were being pushed down a trail, they would take this stick often, and sometimes the cattle would bottleneck or they'd stand there and not move. They would go along and they would poke them with this stick. And it would cause them to want to move forward. And if they were to kick against it or buck against it or get stubborn, it would bring about harm, hurt, or pain. And so cattle learn quickly. When they see that rod, get moving. Get moving. You don't want to get poked by this rod. Well, we see here that the Lord is telling him that there is a rod being applied to him, and it's going to be worthless for him to kick against it. He's only going to get hurt. He's going to end up going down the trail. The question is, will you go happy or will you go limping? So we see that he reminds him, hey, you're going to end up doing this. You know, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You're going to get hurt doing this, is what he's telling Paul. Now in verse number 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If you have your pen, underline that. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, we see here an amazing thing happen. We see a man in the first verse that hates Christianity, and he's doing all he can to stop it. And just a few verses later, he has an instant conversion in his heart. This person he's trying to stop, now he's calling him Lord, and he is asking the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Boy, we see something change here. We see an instant conversion. We see Paul go through an instant change of heart concerning the Lord. How many of you see that? Say amen. You know, I've seen people that everybody wrote off, and I've seen people that nobody believed would ever get saved. I've seen them have a moment where the Lord just gets a hold of their heart. That person that you've been praying for years, that you think is hopeless, that person that you would nominate for the worst sinner you know, that person that just seems like their heart is made of stone, don't ever give up on that person. There can be an instant conversion happen in their life. They can have a moment where the Lord simply gets a hold of them. I think of such a person was my great mamaw. Her name was Wanda. I'm sorry, that's my mamaw. My great mamaw was Miss Wilkerson. And Miss Wilkerson, Grandma Wilkerson we called her, was one of the most just hardcore people I've ever known. Mamaw Wilkerson. She was a person that was at one point into witchcraft. At one point, she would read palms, and during a portion of her life, she actually had people that would come by regularly, and she would do cards and tell their future and read their palms, and she got into all of that. She was a very hard drinker. She was a very hard-living person. She had a daughter named Wanda who ended up marrying a young man named Jack. Jack, and by the way, they met, and one day they met and got married that night. That's how they did it. My papaw Jack was home on leave during World War II. He was in the Navy, met Wanda, my mamaw. They met that morning. They got married that night. They were married for almost 70 years, so I'd say it was a good marriage, amen. But Jack was not a Christian, but then he met the Lord about a year after they got married. Just about a month or two after he got saved, he surrendered to preach, and Wanda became a preacher's wife. My mamaw Wanda got saved before papaw Jack did, but soon after she got saved, my papaw got saved, and man, he got a good dose of it, became a preacher, and he spent over 40 years pastoring churches in Michigan and in Arkansas. And though they tried and they tried and they tried, my mamaw tried so hard to win her mother to Christ, but boy, she was hard. I mean, she was hardcore. Just would shut you down. I don't want to talk about that stuff. Usually there would be foul language involved. Boy, my papaw, who had led many people to Christ, told me with tears in his eyes, I've tried so many times to talk to my mother-in-law about salvation, but she just won't hear it. She will not hear it. And I remember as a little boy, every night we would pray that Mamaw Wilkerson would get saved. We would pray for her and we would seek God's intervention in this. As kids, my mother was very burdened about it. Then one day I came home from school and my mom had a suitcase packed. She said, kids, I'm going to go up and see Mamaw Wilkerson. I'm going to spend the night with her tonight. She lived about 4 hours away. She said, I want y'all to pray hard because I'm going there with one goal in mind. I'm going to go try to win my Mamaw to Christ. Of course, we were excited to hear that Mom was going to do that. And sure enough, Mom went. She sat down at the table and she said, Mamaw, I'm here for one reason. I'm here to tell you about Jesus, and you're going to listen to me. And, of course, she had a soft spot for that granddaughter. And my mom went through the plan of salvation with her. My mom said that my Mamaw Wilkerson broke and just began to weep. And right there at that table, she prayed and asked Jesus to save her. She came home with my mom that night and stayed with us the rest of the week so that my father could baptize her the following Sunday. In the last years of her life, as much as her health would permit her, she attended church as regularly as she could. And you know what? If anybody in that town had been a gambling person, in fact, there were a bunch of them, and her husband, my papaw, Roby Wilkerson, was a professional gambler. I mean, they were hardcore people. They owned a bar downtown where they had back gambling in the back. I come from some good people, amen. I'm kind of like that guy that paid a man to track down his family tree, and then he paid him a lot of money to find out who he was related to. Then he paid him a lot more money to keep him quiet. But my papaw, Roby, died without the Lord. He died young, died in sin. But my mamaw, even though nobody would have ever thought this woman would ever change, she was a hardcore person. She gave her heart to Christ. And you know, I want to tell you something. That person that you're praying for, don't ever give up on them. You keep praying for them and you keep looking for that opportunity and you keep praying that God will soften their heart. And you just never know. In an instant, they can go just like Saul did here, from being this person that doesn't want anything to do with Christianity to saying up to the heavens, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, that's the question that every new Christian should ask. Once you get saved, once you ask Jesus to save you, the first thought in your mind should be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? You know, our theme this whole next week, answer the call. Paul is answering the call here. By the way, Saul becomes Paul, the great apostle. I know y'all know that. But he answered the call there on that Damascus road. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful thought. I'm wanting you to ask that same question over the next week. As you hear these missionaries speak and teach and present, as you feel the Holy Spirit moving, I'm wanting you to ask this question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then do it. The next verse is, I'm not going to take time to read it, but we see the Lord very explicitly tell Saul what he should do next. And Saul obeyed it. He did what God told him to do. He went where God told him to go. This same man that we read about wanting to bind up Christians becomes the very first missionary of the Jerusalem church to be sent out to go start and plant churches. Right off the bat, he understood something. He's the boss. God's the boss. And I'll go where you send me. I'll do what you tell me to do. He had a moment. God got his attention. And immediately his spirit was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I don't want to try to play the role of the Holy Spirit for you. It's not everybody's calling to be a missionary. Somebody's got to be at the local church helping send missionaries. It's not everybody's calling to be a preacher or a pastor. It's not everybody's calling to be in a ministry in the church running it. I believe it's everybody's calling to have ministry and to do ministry. But it's not always a calling for you to be full-time in that. But it could be that there's somebody here that it is your calling. And it will start with you having the right spirit to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then answer the call. Answer the call. I want you to bow your heads. And last year we went into our missions conference. We got all prayed up and got excited about it. Boy, we had a great one. I had many missionaries tell me, missionaries that are currently traveling and going to churches and missions conferences weekly. Several of the men that spoke in our missions conference said it was the most fantastic missions conference they'd ever been to. They left pumped. I was getting letters and cards for months after it. And I'm not taking credit for that. Y'all did that work. Y'all cooked and cleaned and prepped. And you got up here and you got everything ready and you prayed it down. And God gave us a great victory. And here's another great thing that came out of that. We had a man in our church answer the call. And Brother Roger Wilson surrendered to be a missionary last year. And he's currently now already on deputation to go to communist China to try to reach those people there who he loves. Hey, listen. Looking out over the congregation last year, I didn't know who God was going to call. So many missions conferences start and end with nobody picking up the phone. I'm hoping if God rings your number this year, you'll answer the call. Could be that there's another person in this church that God wants to use in a very specific way. If you're here tonight, you say, preacher, I know I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed of it. Would you just raise your hand tonight as a witness? Amen. Amen. You may lower your hands. So glad to see all these hands raised. Would there be anybody tonight that could say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand tonight. I don't know for sure. Would you pray for me? If you'll just slip your hand up, put it right back down, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Folks, I want to challenge you. Your prayer for the next week. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Answer the call. Answer the call. In a moment, I'm going to have the ladies join my wife in the fellowship hall, Miss Christie. I'm going to have the men stay in here, and I'm going to have Brother Dave Dillon oversee the men's prayer group, and I'm going to ask the deacons that are in the room tonight, the deacons that are here tonight, I'm going to have y'all meet me in my office, and we're going to have a prayer time with the deacons. I and the deacons are going to have some special prayer time together. Man, this thing's coming. Sunday morning, the preparation time is done. It's time to be praying now. We got to pray away the darkness. That old devil wants to show up. We got to pray it away. We got to pray it away. And I'm going to ask you to pray for God to just put his hand around this thing. Not just here, but all the churches in the round robin. So as soon as I'm done, ladies, if you'll go to the fellowship hall, and Miss Christie, when you're done, you'll dismiss them and they'll get to go home from there. Men, you'll stay in here. Deacons, meet me in my office. Dear Father, we are going to have this missions conference starting Sunday morning. Lord, we've been working hard on it. Going to meetings, calling missionaries, scheduling motels, Lord, budgeting it and making sure that we have the theme and the things that go around the theme. Lord, I can't even calculate the minutes and the hours that we've spent meeting and talking and personally just thinking about this missions conference. Lord, I don't want it to just be a scheduled event. I don't want it to be something that just wears everybody out. And they got to be up every night and get up early in the morning. They got to cook and clean and basically, on Thursday, they just get up, wore out. Lord, I want it to be something that challenges them and changes them. And Lord, there could be somebody in this room that will hear the call and they'll answer the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Lord, that's my goal. That's what I want. I don't want to just have something to have it. I don't want to have it because we've always done it. I want it to be something, Lord, that you're involved with and that you're in. And Lord, I pray that you will meet us and be here and that you'll be in the middle of this congregation each and every service. And let your spirit be felt and your presence be known. And Lord, if there be somebody in the room that's not saved, give us the victory of that salvation. Lord, I pray that you would just hear the prayers of our church and honor the work of the hands that will be done, and the cooking and cleaning and the making of baskets and the inviting and the attending and getting up on each morning wore out, going to your job. Lord, honor it. Bless them for it. Let good things happen in their life that they will praise you for, that they may be able to honestly say it pays to serve the Lord. And let us encourage these missionaries, because some of them, Lord, I know get so discouraged. I know that there are missionaries right now that will be at this missions conference that are contemplating quitting. Lord, we've had missionaries come to the conference, and literally by the next year, we've heard that they're no longer heading to the mission field. Lord, I hope that you can use this conference to encourage that weary missionary, that weary missionary's wife, those children that are tired of being in a minivan and staying in motels and being in a different church week after week, and those missionary kids that are grieving because they're going to be leaving their friends and their family and their homeland and all that they've ever known to go somewhere that's different. Lord, let us be an encouragement and let us be a blessing and use us, because we are offering ourselves to be used. And our prayer this night is, Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? Now, Lord, hear the individual prayers of our people with the time that we have left tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.